You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And so then I was with them. And then when I was with the mob, I was with the mob. And then when I was in the nightclubs bouncing and hanging out with maybe a couple of guys from the Devils or the New Jersey Giants or whoever I was hanging around with, at that time, I actually hung around with a special manager who was manager of the Yankees for years. I used to go out drinking with him. And there were a lot of people that I was around with then. And it was funny because it was all about, look at who I'm with. Look at who I'm hanging out with. Never had my own identity.
In other words, yeah, were you a bad guy?
Yeah, I was kind of a mean guy.
See, I can't see that. See, I know you now on the other side. And you're a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah.
What are you, like 6 foot something? What
I'm
are you?
6'4".
6'4".
Yeah.
And you're this big guy, and not fat, but just big, you know? And maybe a little plump because you're in your 60s. I'm a lot plump. But anyway, so you're a sweetheart of a guy. I can't imagine you ever being hard. But it is funny how if you have a hardened heart from the world, because Jesus says, I'll give you a heart of flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how many years do you go on living like this?
I completely went on living 40 years of an addict.
40 years. Now, that includes the childhood, or is this after the
childhood? This is 15 years old to 55 years old. That whole span.
So you've only been converted for like 10 years.
11 and a half years.
Wow, a late in life. I thought 29 was late. You didn't get saved till you were to your 55?
55 years old.
I know a guy named Walt, and he got saved. He was an alcoholic. And he used to tell me, I want to tell you, boys, it's unlikely anybody gets 80% of the people that come forward at a Billy Graham crusade or like 25 or younger. And he says, it's a miracle I got saved. He was laying in bed. I guess he was totally addicted to alcohol. He claims the whole room filled up with the light of Jesus. And he was instantaneously delivered and came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Same with you, 55.
Yep. Well, you got to look at my life. I went through 55 years of being a big shot who I thought I was. I had two marriages that I burned up due to my addiction. The second marriage, I had a child with that wife. And that wife that I was married to, we were both in addiction together. And she got pregnant, and I decided, well, the only right thing to do is get married. So when she was pregnant for the 9 months, she stopped using because she was carrying our child. But I continued to lighten up on what I was doing, but I was still doing it. But then once the baby was born and we moved on with our life,
Did she return to drugs?
Yeah, she returned too. So we were both doing it again. Mm. And then our parents were taking our daughter, Holly, who was the first grandchild on both sides of the family. So her mother and father would come up from Philadelphia and take Holly for the weekend, or my mother and father would take Holly for the weekend, and they lived in New Jersey, Lyndhurst. And then me and my wife, we had nothing to do all weekend, so I went back to playing the drums because I was a drummer. My godfather was drummer for Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Really?
At 5 years old, Sherry. He taught me how to play. Yep. Yep, so I learned how to play the drums at 5 years old, and I continued in the music industry. But that music industry at that time for me was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know?
And I just saw that play at the Riverside Theater recently. I've seen the movie a couple times. I also saw it on Broadway. I got to tell you something. This time, for some reason, I was maybe listening better, or maybe it was just the way it was executed. You know, every director is different. It really struck at that. They had this superficial exterior of being happy and everything, but it was really kind of crummy. The thing of fame, I guess, it's not what you think it is it?
No, it's not. It's all illusion, and we're disillusioned.
That's why so many people commit suicide.
Yes, yes, yep. I tried that multiple times. There were times
you tried suicide.
Oh yes, I did. There were so many times that I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired that you know, I got in 2003, in 2002, my mother and father took sick. My mother was diagnosed with cancer, and the following week, my father was diagnosed with diabetes, and there were separate hospitals. And then after they were in separate hospitals, they came home, and then they had nurses around the clock. And at that time, I was really into full-blown addiction where it really had to grasp me that I couldn't live without it.
You wanted to dull yourself. You didn't want to feel the pain of seeing your parents.
Right. I didn't want to feel the pain of seeing my parents. And I was married to my wife, and we had our daughter, Holly. Holly was 4 years old by this time. And going through that hard pain of going to look at them because they not only were home together with nurses, I would go there every day and bring Holly. Holly would cheer them up and my wife. But later on, it wasn't that long after that, both of my parents ended up in hospice together side by side.
Really?
Yeah, they were in one hospice
room.
And
you're the only child. That's got to be a lot of pressure on the shoulders of an only child.
Yeah, it was. And so I started indulging a lot more to kill the pain of watching my parents.
Did they die?
Plus, I was, they did. My mom died July 27th of 2003. And then I got thrown out of the house on September 28th because my addiction got so bad. My wife had gotten sober 90 days before that.
Yeah.
And she couldn't have me around no more because I wasn't a father and I wasn't a husband and I wasn't a son either. I don't remember my mother's funeral. They said that I jumped on a coffin and almost knocked it over, which I don't remember doing that. And then what happened was when she threw me out of the house, I lost my landscaping company that I had at the time because all my equipment was at the house. I had a restraining order. And I ended up living above my friend's bar in a room for $75 a week. Then that I got a truck driving job for driving for a mattress company just to make money. But that wasn't going to last too long because I was in court every week because my wife was divorcing me. And just things start to happen. Now my mother dies. She throws me out of the house. And I'm in a bar one night and I got a bottle of Oxy's in my pocket. And I'm thinking about committing suicide that night, that I can't take this anymore. And I was going to, you know, party that night and then go up into my room and down the bottle of pills. I couldn't think of doing it any other way except the bottle of pills. Figure I'd go to sleep and meet the Lord. At the time, I didn't know if that was going to happen or if it was. But anyway, I was going to take the bottle of pills, but in comes walking a guy I haven't seen in 25 years. And here I am in this bar up in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And my buddy comes walking right over to me. And we started talking, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing now? He's like, I'm living in Florida. Me and my brother have been living in Florida. And I'm like, how long you guys been down here? Oh, 24 years. Where you been, Tony? What's going on with you? And I told him what was going on. He's like, hey, I'm driving a car carrier out of Fort Lauderdale. Why don't you jump on the truck, and we'll go see the United States. I'm cross-country truck driving. So I call my father in hospice. My father tells me to get on the truck and go. He says, your wife is doesn't want you around no more. She already got a restraining order on you, and it's getting worse, and I'm really worried about you doing something stupid. Plus, she's trying to put you in jail, and I'm your father. I want you to go. Get on the truck and go.
The parent knows what's best for their child.
Yep. My father said, you never, never listen to me. So the first time in your life, I want you to listen to me. Get on the truck and go. So I left. So while we were on the road, driving all across country, California, all over, hauling cars and dropping them off and picking up cars, I would call him every day from the truck stops. At that time, there were pay phones, and you could put a quarter in and talk for 15 minutes for a quarter. So I used to have a bag of quarters, and I would call him up from pay phones in the truck stops.
I remember that. You actually had drive-up pay phones back then.
Yes. So
lower your window.
Yeah. So apparently I ended up calling him all the time, and then he wasn't sounding too good. So I left in October. I got thrown out of house September 28th, left October on the truck, Halloween, and I basically came back to New Jersey on January 9th, and I had been talking to my father all along. And I was came back to New Jersey. I was going to go invite him, go visit him and just surprise him. And when I called to talk to him and let him know I was coming, the nurse told me he had passed away the night before.
Thank God at least you were in contact with him.
Yes, but I never got there for the funeral or anything. And that weighed heavy on me later on.
Oh, the funeral had already taken place, you mean?
Yeah.
Without you.
Well, no, it didn't take place yet, but I had to leave to go keep cross-country truck
driving. Now, were you being paid for that cross-country truck driving?
Yes, I was.
Oh, he paid you like as an assistant or something?
Yeah, yeah.
He did the driving?
We were partner driving. I was driving, too.
Oh, I see.
He would drive during the day, and I would drive at night.
Ah.
And we would, like, leave Florida, and we'd get to San Jose, California for our first trip. We would get there in about 4 days. Because he would drive during the day, and I'd drive at night.
Hauling cars.
Hauling cars.
For wealthy people.
Yep. Yep. Wow. And new cars for dealerships, too.
Oh.
We did all kinds of hauling. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it was crazy because God was with us, because I was fighting all these demons still. And every night in the truck stops, I would buy bottles of vodka and I would just sit and drink this stuff and black out to go to sleep. And there were times.
So you were sleeping during the day while he's driving.
Right, right.
There were times that what?
There were times that I would drive nighttime through the way out west, like New Mexico and Arizona.
Yeah.
Out in the desert on Route 10.
Yeah.
You can drive out there at night and not see one single car in 10 hours of driving.
That's amazing.
And you can't got no radio.
Talk about lonesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so lonesome, I could cry.
You know, and it was a straight drive. So I would do is set the cruise control, hold the steering wheel drive, and I'd be snorting coke and drinking vodka while I was driving.
By the way, folks, we're listening to Anthony. How do you say your last name?
Marakovich.
Marakovich. The title of the book is Addiction, Saved by the Grace of God. But you can get that anywhere, right?
I mean, it's online, Amazon, Kindle,
Addiction,
Barnes
Saved by the
Noble.
Grace of God. You picked a nice font. I don't know how, and that's important. I mean, people might not know, like the lettering is very important. It's spaced out well. It's on crisp white paper. It looks like a fun read, and it's not really long. You turned it. It was 600 or 700 pages, and the editor brought you down to 137. See, that's readable.
Yeah, well, that's people are reading it in one shot, which is
Addiction,
perfect.
Saved by the Grace of God. Okay, so you're riding around in this big truck. And what happens next? Are we getting close to you getting born again? What age are you now?
Well, actually, I got born again in 2012. This was 2003.
Okay.
So I had gone through, we went up to Indianapolis to pick up some cars, and I had developed a lump in my stomach.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
On the third sunrise, you gave new life forever. When you stepped outside, left death behind forever.